Hello again, this is David Collins with BitNote. We'll be playing video game music and talking about the games they're from. Hope you enjoy. So, hey everyone, and just in case you weren't in last session, buy Aldebalance on the iPad market, and that's just a bit enough promotion. I don't want to be one of those people who's constantly promoting his own stuff every single show, but yeah, Aldebalance teaches the basics of algebra, targeted towards 8 to 12 year olds, and available for the iPad on the app market. Thank you. So, I'm going to start the game. After this advertising plug, of course, with a story. And it is a story that takes place in a video game, but it's probably not the sort of story that the developers intended to be in a video game. This is one of the most powerful things, I think, about video games, is that you can craft their own experiences. And while every single game tends to have a story and characters and everything, why don't they just start the story? How does that sound? The story takes place in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Now, if you're paying attention, yes, there is a certain Grand Theft Auto game that's been released recently called Grand Theft Auto 5. And yes, it also takes place in San Andreas. It's kind of how, what Rockstar is. I was playing San Andreas just because I didn't think I'd be getting Grand Theft Auto 5 and just wanted to play it as a result. But it's one of Rockstar's things they're doing at the moment. They create the game in the first place and then they just recreate it. So like Grand Theft Auto 3 takes place in a place that looks like New York City, and then they had Grand Theft Auto 4, which took place in also in imagined New York City, but they just basically reimagined it. After Grand Theft Auto 4, they basically rebooted it, and so just like Grand Theft Auto 4 takes place in the sort of same location as Grand Theft Auto 3, which in that case being Liberty City, Grand Theft Auto 5 takes place in the sort of same location as Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, i.e. both being San Andreas. Now, I was playing it, and one slight difference between San Andreas and 5 is that in San Andreas, it wasn't just Los Angeles and the surrounding area that got parodied. You know, there's Los Santos, which is a caricature of Los Angeles, of course, but it also contained two other cities, San Fierro and Las Venturas. Now, if you know anything about parody and you're alert, you'll be able to see where this goes. San Andreas not only contains basically Los Angeles, but also San Francisco and Las Vegas. Now, I've been playing the game for a while. I played this game like years and years ago when I first got it, and then recently got back to it because I never quite managed to finish and stuff. So I was playing along, and finally I figured, look, it's kind of ridiculous. I've unlocked most of the game, but I haven't unlocked, you know, this Las Venturas part, you know, the Las Vegas part. So, you know, it's kind of silly for me to, you know, have this game that I've sat on for so long, and just because I couldn't be arsed to finish it, I never managed to get to it. So I played through it, continued on from where I left off, went through all the things, pushed my way through the missions, and opened it up, the Las Venturas area. So I had some fun. I mean, I checked out their stand-in for Area 51 and some also those wigwam hotels and stuff. And suddenly I got onto the main strip and just drove along and looked at all the great casinos. And I thought to myself, damn, you know, they put all this effort into casinos. Maybe I can actually get into a casino and start gambling. Now, let me tell you a quick thing about Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. It is probably the first game, and definitely the most severe game, to teach money as something that's hard to get. Now, if you go over a ramp in Grand Theft Auto 3 and do a stunt ramp and it goes slow motion, you get a couple of £1,000 as a reward, and it's all awesome, you went over this jump. In San Andreas, you get $500, and that's it. And really, this is a theme that pervades through most of the game. If you do a mission, which can be pretty important, you'll get $1,000 or a couple of thousand, and generally speaking, it gets pretty damn hard. I mean, you know, there's a lot of property to buy in this game, a lot of places that turn into your safe house and things you can buy, and of course weaponry as well. You can buy at the ammunition ever present, but it's just, this is a game where it's actually hard to earn money, and it's to the game's credit, because you have to actually make an effort to actually sort of make money. At the same time, if you just wanted to buy everything, it's a lot harder. And as I was making my way through, I found this way of stealing cars and selling them specifically, which actually made you something like 30 grand money, and that was actually good. But I was making my way up and I realized, you know, I've got after all my work, I've only got about $200,000 in this game. And I mean, like, that's not enough because some of these are really expensive properties around this place and I'd really like to increase it. And then I come across Las Venturas. And then I find out Caligula's Palace, which of course is standard for Caesar's Palace. And I find I can enter it. And then I find I can gamble. So I'm kind of trying to say, whoa, this is actually pretty cool here. I mean, I look around the tables and I've tried my hand at blackjack and lose money very quickly. And I try my hand at the whole roulette table and that's kind of a bit of a bust and stuff. It actually reminded me of this real life circumstance where my brother and I and his friend, we went to this casino and my brother just put down, I think, got $15 worth of chips, put them on the table. I do not, can never forget how fast that money disappeared. It's like it's gone. We're so used to that if you give away money, you get something in return. Maybe it's a CD or maybe it's a crappy gift or something. But no, when you're gambling, suddenly the money goes. And it just, so I was very apprehensive about this. But then I hit upon a system. And this is probably where it goes the best. I'd heard about this system called Martingale. It's, Martingale, sorry. It's a bit of a system where basically, You put down, like, say, €1 and on a 50-50 bet. And if you win, you get that euro and an extra euro back. And if you lose, you lose the euro. But the idea is that you double your stake every single time. And this is where it gets a little tricky because
if you lose 8 times in a row, then what can start as a loss of €1 can turn into a loss of €256. And the only way to actually deal with that is just to increase the chances of losing even more.
It's a very tricky system. So I decided, I know what I'll do. I'll try this Martingale system. Since this is a video game and I have no real consequences, I can try to play it in this game. So I try the system and I try it and it seems to win and then it kind of doesn't win. And then I try instead of, it's making money too slowly. So instead of doing Martingale on the 2-to-1 on the roulette table, I try doing it on the 3-to-1 on the roulette table. And that kind of makes me money and it sort of goes. And then I end up losing money. I suddenly realize, go from $200,000 and then it goes straight to debt. So I start getting desperate and just say, okay, bet everything. And I go deeper and deeper into debt. And suddenly I manage to pull myself out of it. And so this whole time I'm going up to higher stakes and higher stakes tables. So I'm getting pretty creeped out at this stage and I'm saying, you know, like, I know what I need to do. I need to just go to a higher stake table. Up to then I'd gradually been betting enough to make money and go to higher stakes table. So I went to, having made my money back, I went to a higher stake table and then I managed to actually, in a very short session, in one thing where the maximum bet was like $1 million and the minimum bet was like $10,000, I suddenly managed to make over $1.5 million in the game and I was ecstatic. I was going, Dad, this is so awesome. This is so awesome. And I beat the game effectively. You know, all these game developers, they've been thinking, okay, in order to make this money, you go here and then you go there and you get like 10,000 at that mission and maybe 5,000 at that mission. And I was going, screw you, game developers. I've suddenly made $1.5 million in this game just by manipulating it. You know what your mistake was? Your mistake was including like a whole gambling system. I know if you're going to do Las Vegas in a game setting, you got to include casinos. But damn it, I proved you wrong. I got the money. So I went around and I went on buying spree. I bought out all the property in the hotel. And then I did a quick bit of gambling and suddenly made a couple of 40, 60,000 more. And I was going, this is so brilliant. And so after buying my property, I said, you know what? I've got a lot. I said I'd quit after $1 million, but I bet you I can make it to the big time. So I tried it. I bet it. Each time I doubled my bet, I was betting. I bet 20,000, 40,000, 80,000, all the way up to 640,000. And then I lost. So I said, okay, another time. And I kept saying, you know, I've lost the last few times. It's probably going to work out this time. And so I bet the full million and I lost. And I was going, okay, I did this before. I just have to bet another million and I'll be fine. And I lost that too. And I said, okay, I just need to bet another million. And then suddenly the casino told me that I'd actually reached my limit. So I said, okay, I'll just bet the limit. I'll just bet it completely as much as I possibly can. And I lost. And suddenly I realized that according to the game, I was $1 million in debt. It was right there on the top left screen. It was all purely red and a minus sign. And I said, I'm broke. I'm in debt. I can't make up this money. I need to get some money so that I could bet in the casino and make back all the money again. And I was really, but by that stage, I was really, really, isn't that the mindset that got you into the situation in the first place? I'm like, no, never mind. I'll figure something out. So I started sweating at this stage. I mean, $1 million debt, what am I going to do? And then I start getting phone calls on my mobile phone from a clearly an organized criminal gang saying that they're looking for me to pay back my debt, and I get really freaky. I start getting paranoid. During one mission where I'm doing a thing where I'm doing like some police work, I suddenly see another car driving up beside me, and it seems to be aggressive. I'm thinking, what is this, them? Is this that organization that's trying to track me down? Dear gosh, I gotta get out of here. And I panicked, and in my blaze I ended up taking a bunch of jobs. I managed to go to this job and that job and everything, and managed to actually make myself a couple of $1,000s back. And I thought, okay, if I bet this, I should be able to bet enough that I'll be able to make the money back. And you know, then I could bet more and more. So I said, I better go to a high stakes table, because if I go to a low stakes table, it'll last for longer and there's more of a chance I'll lose. So I went to the high stakes table, I bet it all, and I increased the bet, and I reached my limit, and I hadn't won it back. I lost it all again. I was back to $1 million in debt. And I was thinking, oh dear gosh, I don't know what to do. So I just walked around. I was kind of despaired. And I mean, as depressing as this was in a video game, I also, by coincidence, in my real life, I had a bunch of things sort of that weren't really going around. So I suddenly felt exhausted, tired, and I ended up walking around. And I was thinking, I can't put up with this. I just can't. And so I took a way out, basically. You see, after I'd won the mini, I saved my game, and after I'd made the loss, I couldn't bear to save my game. Now, I'd done a bunch since then, and I figured, look, I just can't put up with this. So I reached forward and just powered off the console without saving, and I left it. And that way I knew that when I turned it back on again, I'd just go back to the place where I hold all the money and everything would be fine. But I kind of knew then I just completely dodged the consequences of my actions. It's like I'd given up, I'd screwed it up, I took the easy way out. And I think that looking back, I think it's just a good demonstration about how you can suddenly have a real experience that's your own in a video game. I mean, I've heard about in real life, there's a lot of genuine people who deal with gambling addiction. And, you know, that's tragic. That's terrible. I wish the best for people. I hope that people aren't put through such trials and stuff. And I really hope for them. But I couldn't really understand exactly where they were coming from, because I always figured that, you know, I'm a logical guy and I wouldn't put this into them. I wouldn't make a mistake like try to think that, you know, a gambling system that's rigged against you could end up benefiting you. But, I mean, the game showed that, you know, with the right opportunity, damn well I could. It just shows that when you think you've got a system, when you think you've got the overhand in the system, and when you make a win big and put that down to your own skill and ability rather than the random chances of whatever machines you're going up against, then it suddenly becomes a challenge. Then it suddenly becomes a game you've got to play, and it's one that you actually genuinely believe is based on your own decisions and your own opportunities rather than a very carefully weighted system against you. The only way I was able to win in the earlier stages is because I had a system which would encourage you as to having good odds at the start, but the bad odds would, you know, in a good chance of winning something, but a small chance of losing everything. And that's how it all balances out in the end. And it was just really interesting for the game to put me through that, because in that whole simulation. All right, I've gone for long enough without playing some music. I think that I'm going to play a game from another game that also has a gambling system. This is from Dead Rising 2. Now, I'll talk a bit about how that implements gambling in a second, but I'll just, for the second now, I'll play this music. It's from Dead Rising 2 Off the Record. I've played music from this game before, by the way. But I just like this game, and I think that this is a pretty good song for a couple of reasons. So how about I play Dead Rising 2 Off the Record? It's called His Name's Frank, and we'll pick it up afterwards. So thank you for everyone out there for listening to my virtual gambling addiction, which was thankfully quite simply saved by powering off the console and restoring an earlier save. I know that this sort of makes light of anyone who's actually going through the situation in real life, but it's But, yeah, I kind of don't really have a defense about that. It does, actually. But at least that's kind of what video games could do, give you a very superficial and virtual example of what other people... and giving a slight bit more understanding to other people's lives, at least. That's what I think they do when they're really working for themselves. I'll play the track now. And to anyone suffering from gambling addiction out there, I seriously wish you the best. And just ask for help, because no matter what issue you're going through, a problem shared is a problem halved. And that's really all my inadequate advice I can give with something like that. Thank you.
I'ma tell you right now.
And that, my friends, was His Name's Frank by Life Seeker from Dead Rising 2, off the record by Capcom. Now, I've kind of talked about Dead Rising 2 before, but off the record before, but essentially there's one video game and called Dead Rising 2, which is a sequel to Dead Rising, and then they figured, you know, why don't we make another video game that basically is kind of like a redo of it, only with a different character. You see, Frank West starred in the original Dead Rising, then they had another guy start for the sequel, and fans were saying, "Ah, we wanted Frank West back, you know, in the game." So they said, "Screw it! Why don't we create another version of Dead Rising 2 where Frank was the main character?" And that's exactly what they did. So, actually, it's kind of a pretty cool song when you think about it. If you listen to the lyrics, it actually refers to a heck of a lot of stuff that happens in the game, from everything from Zombrex, Isabel, which Zombrex is the anti-zombie drug in the game, and Isabel, who's kind of a companion of yours, to everything from saving the game when you pee, which is something you actually do in the game, to the way of mixing up a water gun with a gasoline can in order to create an impromptu flamethrower, which in real life would be dangerous and probably melt the plastic. But that's one of the whole things about but you know, as you said, Dead Rising 2, off the record, continues to be a very, very fun game, and as you can see, it's just got a lot of different nice little combos to it, and which makes it a lot of fun. In terms of the gambling context, it's actually kind of interesting. Obviously, both games, Dead Rising 2 and Dead Rising 2 off the record, take place in kind of like a Playland casino sort of world. And that's actually pretty cool, because the previous game took place in a shopping center, and that was okay because you had all the different shops. So this one also works because you've got a bunch of casinos as well as the actual shops and everything. So I suppose you're asking, well, how does it manage the casino element? Well, at one stage in the game, you are actually able to get into a poker tournament, and then you have to try to and then you basically you're trying to rescue survivors, and survivors scatter throughout the game. But a couple of really three dedicated poker players are all holed up in this area saying, okay, we'll take you to, we'll let you take us to the safe house, but only if first that you basically play a game of poker with us and preferably flush us all out. So you're thrown into the situation where there's a zombie apocalypse taking place outside. As you're playing the game, you can look out through the windows and see the zombies shambling through all the slot machines and everything. And in the meantime, you're looking at all three card players out there trying to figure out whether to bluff, whether to fold, whether to go all in. And the solution I found was just to keep going all in, and then if that doesn't work, replay the save game. And then you're just desperately trying to say, listen, you know, time is of the essence in this game. Time is passing by. If I don't get out of here soon, I might miss a chance to save other survivors or miss a chance to get other equipment that I need in order to beat the next battles. But meanwhile, all three of them are calm. You're trying to play a bit of poker with them. You're trying to make sure you win so that they all come back with you to the safe house. And if you do, you also end up getting about $1 million in the game, which is also pretty damn impressive. On top of that, there's also this whole system of the slot machines as well. Now, I mean, it's pretty tense and everything, getting them to win in the poker thing. But the slot machines also have this system where some of them are basically, well, they're not quite rigged, so to speak, but they they'll deliver money on the first few sessions that you play into them, and then they'll stop giving out any money. Now, in one of the things they fixed and off the record is that it's easier to get money in the earlier stages of the game because they were a little too tight-fisted earlier on, possibly because they expected people to go online and play the multiplayer and earn money that way, even though the fact that not everyone has multiplayer. And that's another thing. If you design a game so that it's a single-player game, but the best way to take... But has core features to the main multiplayer game that you can't, main single player game that you can't have unless you go multiplayer. That's just not nice. I just think, you know, you gotta cater to everyone. I mean, if they go multiplayer and they get great advantages, that's great. But just don't design a game that's hard to make money in it because you expect them to get more money in the multiplayer sort of thing, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So, I ended up having this really weird system. I mean, there are a lot of stuff to buy in the game. So in the original Dead Rising 2, I had to basically get three gambling magazines and just by holding these magazines, it would boost the payout of all these slot machines. I then have to find the, where the most, the, the biggest slot machines that had the most payout in the game were. And by the way, these turned out to be Mega Man slot machines, because Capcom, of course, made it. So I seeked out the Mega Man slot machines. And then what I had to do was, there's a small mission at the start where you save a guy from a tiger, and then he takes you to turn on the power of the casino. So I had to do that too. And then, so I started a new game, saved the guy from the tiger, got the power going, and got... searched around, got all three gambling magazines, went to the slot Mega Man slot machines, managed to find the ones that gave a full payout the first four times you used them, and then basically spent my whole time going through each slot machine, using them till they were spent, going through each one in the room, leaving the room and coming back in so it reloads the room and all the gambling machines are set, rinse and repeating, and basically what's called grinding. Grinding is whenever you do a very simple action in video games, but you have to do repeatedly in order to get an advantage. It's normally used with defeating low-level monsters to get experience points in online games, but in this case I was grinding Mega Man slot machines in a zombie killing game so that I could get money, and so that with this money then I could end up buying cool stuff like the keys to this motorbike that would allow me to drive around the motorbike in a casino. That was what I was doing. That was what I felt was the best way to play this game in order to get the amount of money from it. And honestly, I think I spent ages doing it. Maybe not the most amount of time I've spent grinding something, but still quite a lot. Off the record, too, of course, made it a lot easier to gain money in that game, which made things a lot easier, thankfully. But yes, that was Dead Rising 2 was a pretty good game, and for reasons like that. Okay, hang on a sec. I actually played a lot of... I'll tell you what, there's one other track which was actually pretty good from Dead Rising 2. It was actually kind of, as I said, the original Dead Rising 2 game had Chuck Green in it. The original Dead Rising 2 had Chuck Green in it, and people wanted Frank West in it instead. So, but one of the whole things about it is that when you play off the record as Frank West, all this is non-continuity. You end up actually meeting with Chuck Green, and something rather tragic ends up... You're able to figure out that something rather tragic has happened to him that basically turns him into a psychopath. That's kind of one of the tragic things about the game. Pretty much everyone is... Either you fight zombies or you fight people who have become crazy as a result of the zombie apocalypse. And while some of the people were clearly crazy anyway, and the zombie apocalypse just gives them more reason to be more crazy and start killing people, then you have to defeat them in boss fights... With others, it's clear that they were just regular people who were just put under some such extreme amounts of stress and agony and trauma. I mean, there's a shocking one involving a Vietnam vet in the first game that's just... When you finally defeat him, because obviously he's attacking everyone, when you finally defeat him, he lays down and suddenly, in this last bit of sanity, talks about how he just went crazy and just couldn't... When the zombies attacked his family, he just suddenly felt he was back in Vietnam. And it's kind of shocking, the whole thing. But something kind of similar to that happens with Chuck Green in Dead Rising 2 off the record. Now, none of this is canonical in the actual main storyline. Chuck and Frank only meet later on after the events of Dead Rising 2. But in this kind of like spin-off thing, Dead Rising 2 off the record, you find something tragic's happened to Chuck Green that pushes him over the edge, and suddenly you as Frank West have to battle him just like so many other psychopaths. It's kind of tragic, the whole thing. But he does have a pretty good theme song, Chuck Green does, in this game. So I think I'll leave it at that. So this has been David Collins with BitNote, leaving you with Firewater from Dead Rising 2 off the record. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening.